Under the concept of diminished capacity, the defense told the seven-woman, five-man jury that White acted out of frustration and rage.
It has now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads.
He came in, tipping tables over, billy clubbing, trampling over people, saying, "Go home, faggots, go home, faggots."
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lisha Chappell. Marriage equality comes to Taiwan. U.S. House passes Equality Act on to surly Senate. And echoes of White Night 40 years later. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rob LaCrone.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 18th, 2019.
748号解释施行法草案修正通过。
Elated equality supporters chanted marriage equality and first in Asia as the announcement was made that Taiwan's legislative yuan had passed a bill to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. The vote came, appropriately enough, on May 17th, the annual International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. Thousands of people braved heavy rain to gather outside the parliament building in the capital city, Taipei, to watch live TV coverage of the proceedings. A Taiwan Constitutional Court ruling on May 24, 2017, gave lawmakers a 2-year deadline to pass a marriage equality bill. The justices said that denying civil marriage to same-gender couples was unconstitutional. They decided that equality would automatically come into force on May 24, 2019, if Taiwanese lawmakers failed to act by then. Two other versions of the bill were backed by conservative forces. They described lesbian and gay partnerships as a same-sex family relationship, or a civil union, but pointedly refused to call it marriage. The government's bill was the most progressive of the three, and includes the word marriage. It prevailed by a comfortable margin of 66 to 27. President Tsai Ing-wen has been a strong marriage equality supporter and tweeted that, "We took a big step towards true equality today and made Taiwan a better country."
However, rather than including same-gender couples in the civil code, the measure creates a new law that essentially does the same thing. But it allows married lesbian and gay couples to only adopt each other's biological children. And Taiwanese gay and lesbian couples can only marry a same-gender partner from another country if it would also be legal in the foreign partner's homeland. It's been a long and bumpy struggle for equality advocates in Taiwan, following the Constitutional Court victory 2 years ago after a protracted legal battle over marriage rights. In November 2018, voters rejected marriage equality but approved less than equal civil unions in ballot measures sponsored by a conservative Christian umbrella group known as the Coalition for the Happiness of Our Next Generation. Although referenda results cannot overturn constitutional court decisions, the public vote put pressure on lawmakers to find a way to follow the constitutional court ruling yet still satisfy everyone. The coalition issued a statement saying that it regrets and condemns the vote and called it a malicious misinterpretation of the referendum results. It warned that the massive public will strike back in 2020 when the next national elections are scheduled. As the downpour waned, crowds continued to celebrate in the streets. One man tweeted that a beautiful rainbow now stretches across the sky. The new laws are expected to take effect on May 24th.
Lawmakers in San Luis Potosi have made it the 17th state in Mexico to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. The bill passed on May 16th by a narrow vote of 14 to 12 with one abstention. Lawmakers in the state of Hidalgo voted for marriage equality earlier in the week. Even though the country's Supreme Court ruled in 2015 that state marriage equality bans are unconstitutional, it did not have the power to enforce that ruling outside of the federal courts. So activists in each of Mexico's 31 states have had to establish equality in their own way. Some have made it happen legislatively, others through a state high court ruling, or through an executive branch administrative decision. Queer Mexican couples were first allowed to marry in the Federal District of Mexico City in 2009. Activists continue to chip away at marriage bans in the remaining 14 states. Same-gender couples in those states can only marry by getting what's called an amparo, or injunction, from a federal judge. That's a costly and time-consuming process because couples need to hire a lawyer. But federal judges must follow the Supreme Court ruling and grant the amparo.
With a smattering of bipartisan support, the Democratic majority in the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Equality Act on May 17th to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination under federal law. It would bar bias based on sexual orientation or gender identity or expression in employment, housing, loan applications, education, and public accommodations. Longtime queer rights supporter House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it would bring the U.S. closer to equal liberty and justice for all. The vote in the House was 236 to 173. 8 Republicans joined the majority. 7 Democrats and 16 Republicans did not vote on the measure. Contrary to prevailing belief in the U.S., LGBTQ people are not already protected by federal law. However, several courts have decided that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that bans discrimination on account of sex also extends to sexual orientation and gender identity. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear 3 cases that will test those rulings in the session that begins in October. Close to half of all U.S. citizens currently live in states that have no anti-bias laws protecting queer people. Out Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island is one of the Equality Act's lead sponsors. He said that passage would ensure that all members of the LGBTQ community can live their lives free from the fear of legal discrimination of any kind.
Recent polling demonstrates that as many as 7 in 10 people in the U.S. support anti-discrimination laws for LGBTQ people. Still, Republicans argue that the bill is a threat to religious freedom by requiring the acceptance of a specific ideology about sexuality and gender. Religious conservatives are howling that the measure will promote federal persecution of Christians. Televangelist Pat Robertson warned that passage will make God angry at Americans and the land will vomit you out. Brian Fisher of the certifiably anti-queer hate group the American Family Association ranted against the measure on his daily radio show, calling it the Pedophile Protection Act. A similar bill in the Republican-controlled Senate faces an uncertain future, at best. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has the power to not even allow consideration of the Equality Act in his chamber. And President Trump has signaled that he'll veto the measure in its present form in the unlikely event it reaches his desk.
In other news, the faculty at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo voted overwhelmingly this week to kick Chick-fil-A, the third largest fast food chain in the U.S., behind only Starbucks and McDonald's, off their campus. They referenced a recent Think Progress report that detailed the corporate office's more than $1 million in donations in just one recent year to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which demands what it calls sexual purity, and to the Paul Anderson Youth Home, which offers housing to troubled youth, but teaches that marriage equality is a rage against Jesus Christ and his values. The head of the restaurant chain's charitable arm, Rodney Bullard, defended the contributions during a May 15th interview with Business Insider, claiming that it's a much higher calling than any political or cultural war that's being waged. The student government at Trinity University in San Antonio voted to ban the chain earlier this month, prompting a bill now being debated in the Texas legislature to prohibit jurisdictions from penalizing a business in any way because of its owner's religious or moral beliefs.
And finally, Australia has been embroiled for several weeks in a controversy involving star rugby player and Pentecostal Christian Israel Folau. He's been under fire for anti-queer statements, including retweeting an image claiming that hell awaits homosexuals. He's lost millions of dollars in sponsorships, and on May 17th, he was officially fired by the Australian Rugby Association for major breach of the Professional Players' Code of Conduct. The former Mormon of Tongan descent is standing his ground and continues to urge LGBTQ people to repent for their sins. He can still appeal the association's decision. But in happier Australian sports news for LGBTQ people, Andy Brennan has become the first pro soccer player in Australia to come out as a gay man. He did it through an Instagram post on May 14th, writing that he worried about how it would affect his family, friends, and teammates. But he said that the support of the people around me has been so great and helped me to get to the final step, being completely open. Being open is the best way for me to feel most comfortable and be myself. So he added, carry on.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending May 18th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon with Lucia Chappell, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And now you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rob LaCrone.
Years ago this week, violence broke out in San Francisco's LGBTQ community. The city had lived through the November 27, 1978 assassination of Mayor George Moscone and its famed openly gay supervisor, Harvey Milk. It had seen the former firefighter, police officer, and supervisor, Dan Wright, arrested for those murders. The Oscar-winning film Milk tells that much of the story. What happened next is the story of Diminished Capacity, a radio documentary produced by now This Way Out coordinating producer Greg Gordon. The following excerpts from that program recall the two tumultuous days that began on Monday, May 21st, 1979.
Dan White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter in the shooting deaths of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk last November 27th. The jury, which had deliberated for 36 hours following the end of the trial last Wednesday, chose the least serious crime of the options given to them by Superior Court Judge Walter F. Calcagno. Voluntary manslaughter carries a penalty of from 2 to 4 years. For National Public Radio, this is Gene Parrish in San Francisco.
White shot Moscone, a 49-year-old father of four, four times the body and head. According to prosecution testimony, White reloaded his gun and then sought out and shot openly gay supervisor Harvey Milk five times.
It was voluntary manslaughter, from my point of view.
White defense attorney Douglas Schmidt.
It was an awful thing. I don't ever want to make light of it. There's nothing I can say that's, you know, going to help the families of the victims and all that and change anything that's happened, but I felt that the verdict was just.
Under the concept of diminished capacity, the defense told the seven-woman, five-man jury that White acted out of frustration and rage. Defense testimony, including that of four psychiatrists, portrayed White as being so upset by personal problems that he did not have the capacity for malice, premeditation, and deliberation, the elements required for a first-degree murder conviction sought by the prosecution. Jury foreman George Mincer told the San Francisco Examiner that the jury reached a verdict on the Moscone shooting on May 18th, but that the decision on the death of Milk did not come until 3 days later. Mincer said the panel never seriously considered convicting White of first-degree murder, because the jury could find no evidence indicating premeditation.
They asked to rehear the definition of malice, which is required for any murder charge.
Pacifica correspondent Emily Clark covered the trial from the beginning.
Whether it's second or first degree malice is a necessary element. They asked to rehear psychiatric testimony in which, you know, they asked to hear one psychiatrist who was saying that Dan White acted like he was in a dream. He didn't know what he was doing. And so that sort of gave a hint that they were going to go for voluntary on one of the charges at least, but I don't think anyone there thought they were going to go for voluntary on both of them.
Juror Grace Jackson said an important element of the verdict was the jury's determination to avoid more bitterness. In her words, we didn't want to give the city a worse name. We wanted things to just quiet down, to be over with. For Pacifica Radio, this is Mike Hodell.
I'm just very emotional about it. I feel that... Of course, we have to think about the living and the people that are still alive, and yet it seems like this verdict showed that no one was thinking too much about the people who died.
I'll tell you what the gay movement's about.
Harvey Milk.
After I got elected, I got the phone call I knew I'd eventually get. Got quite a few of them. One was from a 17-year-old child in a small town in Minnesota, and the boy is handicapped. And the boy's parents found out he's gay, and they want to put him in an insane asylum. And that boy needs help. And the gay movement is about the letter I got from Southwest Africa when he read about a gay person getting elected here. And that person has hope.
I think Harvey Milk did a lot.
And that 17-year-old kid in Minnesota has hope.
I used to be really afraid. There's people like Harvey Milk and other people like that that made me realize that I was okay.
Too bad for the gay revolution. This is as far as you get. And if you think you're free, well, listen to me. You ain't seen nothing yet. All gonna feel a backlash. Puritanical power. Kicking us down when we're on the ground. Gonna be their finest hour. You're the baddest of inside your own. The shit goes down before too long. If left is right, then right is wrong. You better decide which side you're on. Oh, yeah.
Not since the late 1960s has the United States seen such a violent expression of its people's anger and frustration as was seen Monday night in San Francisco.
From the Fresh Fruit Collective on KPFA in Berkeley.
But on Monday night in San Francisco, the focus was different than that of the 60s. On Monday night, it was gay people, openly gay people, lashing out their frustrations at a society who, by its very structure, stands as an oppressor to gay people.
I think today is a really terrible day for the gay people of San Francisco, and I'd like to see us move down to 18th Street and start it from there to get the people out of the bars and into the streets, so maybe we can start moving down.
Yay! Woo! So hit it! Out of the bars, into the streets! Out of the bars, into the streets!
You know, I'd like to say, I think those jurors ought to be tried. I think if it was me, if I would have been, I have a lot of frustrations too. I can't find a job. If I went around there and shot up a couple people just to do something like, because I was angry at them, you think they'd let me out of there? I'd be in there till doomsday if I didn't meet the chair first. And you tell them, whoever they are, I hope they have nice, long, sleepless nights forever.
The crowd has assembled. Candles are being lit. Posters are held on high. The street, the steps of City Hall, the street in front of it, back to the reflecting fountain, is filled well over 5,000 people, I would estimate, at this moment. Police have arrived at City Hall, at the doors of City Hall. They've got riot squad gear on.
It's now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads. Of indeed the people who had formed a human chain to protect City Hall are now getting bashed by police. The people who had been protecting City Hall are now getting dragged away by police. The police are now moving out into the crowd. Moving out into the crowd and just flailing about.
Running back. The police have literally beaten the crowd.
Gay people are carrying gay people away who have been hurt and hit. The police moved into a group of people who were sitting down and not moving. And just clubbed away. And they realized that obviously our nonviolent not moving was not going to work. Gay people proceeded to run. And now pretty much there's a 15-foot distance between us and the line of police who are coming down. You can hear their voices. And here they are.
Well, I'm 6 foot nothing off my saloon, born with my Colt 45, I weigh 17 stone. Got a Stetson hat and a big cigar, and I clean up trouble with my little tin star. Law and order, trouble in a bulletproof vest. Law and order, I'm the troubleshooting king of the West.
Later that evening, the police entered the Castro in large numbers, causing the people to come out of the bars, screaming, "Get out of our neighborhood."
Go home! Go home! Go home! Go home!
I was just down here at 1 o'clock having a drink, and I decided to go home. And I go out, and I noticed there are half a dozen cops standing in the middle of the intersection out there, and all of a sudden, they're... You know, more cops everywhere, and they start lining the streets. A few people started throwing bottles at them, and then they just go crazy. They chase people back into the bar where we thought we were safe, and then they just come storming through here. You know, it's like Nazi stormtroopers.
We were all sitting at the same table, relaxed, having a cocktail. I just ordered around. The police bashed through every one of these windows, billy clubbing everybody through that small little back door in the rear, saying, "Get out, go home, queers, get off the streets."
This woman cop comes up to me and kicks me in the ribs, telling me to get your f***ing ass out. That's what she said.
A big woman police. They were billy clubbing people all the way out through the back door, and there was no way all these people could get through that tiny back door. They came in, tipping tables over, crushing people on the floors. Billy clubbing, trampling over people, saying, "Get the hell out, get out, go home, faggots."
Once they came in, there was no stopping them. I was hit in the chest by billy club.
When they finally got us out the back door, they got into formation and marched, saying, "Go home, faggots, go home, faggots."
After that, they kept marching up and down the street, occasionally taking to the sidewalks, you know, with their billy clubs, just clubbing anybody who happened to be around. We were standing in our doorway here at just past 19th and Castro, and as this line of police officers went by, they charged up all the way up our stairs and in right to our front door, forcing us into the house with a weapon.
They had guns?
Yes, they had guns. Not all of them. You know, the majority of them had sticks, but there were officers with drawn rifles.
I think it's important for everyone in this city to know that we're not going to continue to tolerate this.
San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein held a late-night press conference to condemn the violence.
The police exercised some considerable restraint. There will be a major police presence throughout San Francisco. Every off-duty officer is being called back to report to their post.
KPFA reporters on the scene said that the police did not show restraint once they started clearing the City Hall area. Many demonstrators and some reporters were clubbed by police. City Hall sustained major damage, and police from neighboring counties were called in. San Francisco Supervisor Carol Ruth Silver and about 150 other people, police, demonstrators, and reporters, were injured, either by rocks and bottles or by police brandishing billy clubs. With the KPFA News staff, I'm Eileen Alfandary for Pacifica.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
The following day, Tuesday, May 22nd.
KNX News radio correspondent David Hosley says today has special meaning.
A party has been scheduled for some time in remembrance of what would have been Harvey Milk's 49th birthday today. The event on Castro Street had been billed as a non-political good time to begin about 8:30. With streets blocked off on Castro from Market to 18th for the celebrants. San Francisco Supervisor Harry Britt, the gay leader who replaced Milk on the board, said he would not apologize for the violence of last night and this morning, but that he hoped the birthday celebration would be a positive one. Some police apparently think otherwise, as patrol cars filled with reinforcements left City Hall in the early morning. Members of a guard force left behind shouted, "See you tonight, and bring some big ones back with you."
Injection.
Tuesday night, the tone was remarkably different on Castro Street. The long-planned celebration to commemorate Harvey Milk's birthday came off as planned, without violence.
Introducing Harry Britt.
Tonight, 15,000 people have gathered to demonstrate with their love that the spirit of Harvey Milk will always be alive in our city. And I sure as hell don't have to tell you that Harvey Milk's people do not have a damn thing to apologize to anybody for ever. Let no one believe that the step that we have taken is a step from nonviolence to violence. We have suffered too much at the hands of violent people ever to go down that road. But let us say that never again will our people ever stand by and let Dan White's people rule the day. Let us say with our new strength that we are tired of dealing with pigs and that from now on, the people who would follow the spirit of Dan White are going to have to deal with us.
I'd like now for you to welcome Meg Christian and Holly Neer.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I don't think it's wrong for us to feel like we do.
Happy birthday, dear Harvey.
I think we should feel like it more often.
Happy birthday to you.
The time has come from all over this country to people to say, no more dreaming, the time has come to awake.
Much of the material for this program was provided by Andy Seal, Richard Thomas, and Kent Newby of the Fruit Punch Collective, and Don Foster and Polly Dart of KPFA's Public Affairs Department. Live coverage of the rioting came from Fred Brungard and Michael Rutz of Fruit Punch, and Steve O'Neill and Ravenshead Communications. Music by the Tom Robinson Band, engineering by Helene Rosenblum.
For choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Rob LaCrone, produced with Brian DeShazer, with translation thanks to Kevin Shea. Excerpts from Diminished Capacity were produced by Greg Gordon. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, John Beaupre, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KALW San Francisco, California, 3CR Fitzroy, Victoria, WBAI New York, New York, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.